Reading number one today is from the Old Testament, from the book of Proverbs, and then a second from one of the Psalms. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The Psalm 126. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The New Testament reading is from the book of Mark, verses 26 through 34. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man could scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And then the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word of them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The sign that you see up on the screen is our next sermon series starting next week, the Apostles' Creed. It actually exists in the United Methodist hymnal. I asked Ray Dale, when was the last time this church body read the Apostles' Creed? And, you know, she keeps track. I just want you guys to know of what we sing. And she looked in her hymnal and she goes, 2005, Sheree. So this is going to be our next sermon series starting next week. And some of you are like, what's a creed? What's the Apostles' Creed? So this will remind you. It's slow. Just give it a, there you go.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
So this series will start next week. Some of the first service folks, they came and they said, Sheree, you know, I grew up in the Lutheran church and we used to say that. Somebody said, well, back in the Methodist church in Missouri, we said that. Somebody else said, well, I was a Presbyterian and we said that. And the reason you have different pieces or different denominations, because this is the foundation of our Christian faith and what we believe. So we'll go through that each week and learn and be engaged. And so just come and prepare your hearts for that upcoming season. But for today we're not talking about the creed. We are talking about Sunday school. We are talking about the kickoff that has already happened. Some of you guys have come. You brought your kids in. There's an adult Bible study that for Sunday school. All of our Sunday school is 9:50 at the same time, regardless of how old or young you are. And so the adults are learning more about their spiritual gifts, the gift that God has given them specifically for the glory of not themselves, but for the glory of the kingdom. And then we have the open room, school room for the preschoolers up to the fifth graders. That has to be a challenge. I peeked in there. There were so many kids. And we may have to have more than one, and we are still looking for some more teachers. But they are going through the Ten Commandments. So here's not exactly what they'll be looking at, But, you know, some simple things, like, you know, put God first. Don't lie. Don't cheat. And so Diane and the rest of the Sunday school teachers, they want those children to have a biblical foundation. And so they're going to be learning about the Ten Commandments, and they may come home and quiz you. So if you guys need to get your Bibles out, we can help you with where to go. And then our youth group already did their meeting and greeting. I saw Rose come in with two things of donuts. You know, wouldn't you go to Sunday school class if there were donuts? Maybe I should bring more to here. Anyway, so they had their meet and greet. They're going to go for a hike today up at Stewart Falls. We're going to be carpooling. And if today you forgot to tell your kids to come, you know, have them come next week, because we will start all of this with Sunday school. And one thing that I want to challenge you guys, sometimes we want the church to teach our kids because we think the church always knows more of what the scripture should be for our children. But I want to challenge you to be part of your kids' lives. When they come home and they want to teach you something that they learned, they could teach you something. Do you think you could teach your grandma something? How about your aunt? No? All right. Except for your family, maybe. But I doubt that very much. So here's an example of what the kids could come home and tell you.
Holy Spirit. Amen. I learned about God and what else?
Who else did you learn about?
God and Cheez-Its.
God and Cheez-Its. Do you mean God and Jesus?
No, Cheez-Its.
I love it. She's like, excuse me, mother, I am talking. I didn't say Jesus. I said Cheez-Its. Because you know what? Sometimes that open heart that we bring to Sunday school or we bring to the worship service, sometimes we don't always hear things the right way. And I think that's a perfect example of Jesus and Cheez-Its could go hand in hand. I mean, if you need help praying, instead of maybe those donuts, you can bring Cheez-Its. But I want to see a show of hands. How many of you are part of somebody, like bringing up a child? And maybe you're parenting as a grandparent. Maybe you're a school teacher. Maybe you help folks within physical therapy that could also be kids. Just a hand. How many of you are part of other kids or your own kids' life? That would probably be all of us, really. All right. I just want to say a prayer over all of you. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for those who have been called by you to minister to the children and the young people in our Sunday school classes, but also within our families and within our communities. God, we pray that each one would be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a deep desire and ability to guide the young people in their charge through the knowledge of the Word of God and the plan of salvation. God, I ask, give them the ability and the understanding to guide these young people and to teach them along the Christian pathway. We pray that each teacher will recognize the vital role that they play in spiritual development of those that are in their charge, and that they are not alone, because we are part of that as well. And God, it is important. It is an important role and responsibility that we all have. I'm laying a firm and sure spiritual foundation for these children's lives. God, we pray that you would equip each one with the desire to study your word for themselves, so that they too may grow in grace and increase their knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. And we pray by their example, the children and the young people that they teach will also develop a desire to have their own personal walk with the Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use each of us to encourage the children, that we all teach the value and the importance of the Holy Scriptures, studying the Bible and learning for themselves, so they may too mature in the faith and be enabled to stand firm in a world that seems to have forgotten the God who created them. And so may these Sunday school classes be places where the Lord Jesus is lifted high, so that all who attend will draw each one unto himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we read from Mark's gospel this morning. When was the last time any of you took the time to look at a seed? You know, the parable was about the mustard seed. This is an apple seed. But how long has it been since you've looked at a seed? Something so common that we scarcely pay any attention to at all. How could something so small hold so much potential? I find it so interesting when I think of Jesus telling the disciples and the crowds that the kingdom of God is near her. And the way that Jesus reaches for a way to teach them about the kingdom of God was he reaches for a seed. He could have reached for the tree or the fruit that grows on the tree, but instead Jesus chose the seed to make his point. You see, so many people in Jesus' time, they thought the kingdom of God was going to come in overnight, that they were going to conquer the lands and conquer the people. And Jesus uses this parable to talk about the smallness of a seed, and everything that's inside of that seed has potentiality. I find it so interesting that he reaches for a seed. So you and I may not be that familiar with a mustard seed. We know it's the smallest seed out there. We know that it grows to be 3 feet wide and 12 feet tall. As from the smallest seed, it grows so big. But we are all familiar with an apple seed. This one seed contains all of the compounded possibilities of the entire tree. I love that the kids in the first service couldn't get the concept that the tree grows out of the seed, because they only see when they cut the apple open, they see the fruit. They forget that there was some growing before the fruit got there. The seed contains all of the compounded possibilities of the entire tree. Every branch, each leaf, and future apple is contained in the one tiny singular seed. Residing in this one seed are all of the trees that will come in the future from the seeds produced by this one tiny singular seed. I once heard the African proverb, which I shared with the kids, or at least attempted to this morning. Anyone can tell you how many seeds are in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a seed. So, you know, maybe I'm standing up here and I'm just stating the obvious, but perhaps that is the point. It is so easy for us to miss the mystery because it is obscured by the ordinary. Maybe this is exactly why Jesus was constantly calling forth eyes that see and ears that would hear. The truth is shining like a candle on a lampstand, yet somehow we can miss seeing it entirely. The kingdom is not meant to be hidden, but revealed, and yet it takes a certain kind of seeing to perceive it. What could be more humble than a tiny seed? Yet what could be more grand than the tallest tree? This is what God's kingdom is like on earth, yet from heaven. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus is like. He's full of humanity and full of the Holy Spirit, completely divine. Parables. Jesus taught in parables all the time. One thing for us to think about with parables is parables cannot be pinned down, only pondered. They cannot be forced into our categories and our systems. They cause us to humble ourselves before a wisdom we would not otherwise discover. A parable leads the curious seeker into the realm of divine revelation. It takes the learner out of control of the knowledge. Parables put everyone on equal footing, stripping away the prestigious academic robes of distinction, withholding understanding from the proud, and revealing it to the little children. Revealing it to the little children. I'm in seminary. I also just started my second to last semester. Just because I go to school, just because I have academic education, in some ways, that doesn't mean anything. I actually just lost my point. I'm also in my 50s.
You see, I didn't even go that far away. I'm like, oh, what was I going to say? See, it's not here. I know. Thank you for the grace. The parables cannot be pinned down. They are only pondered. They're being, everything is on the same level. Jesus, in the text, it says in Mark's gospel that he never taught them anything without using a parable. That does not mean that he always talked in riddles. Why is it that we so prize our systematic approaches that try to teach everything without them? You see, parables bring disciples into a different relationship with learning. Parables bring disciples into a different relationship with learning. They take away from us our proclivity, our desire to master the material, the content, and they lead us to the place where we are mastered by the Messiah. If I only came out of seminary being able to quote you Greek words, Hebrew words, all of the theology that I think is so important because it is. If I conquered all of the material, the content, when really my focus, God's focus when I go to seminary is to be mastered by the Messiah. A closing thought for us on seeds as we think about the parable this morning is all we do is sow the seed. All you and I do is to sow the seed. All we do is to scatter, to spread, disseminate the seed. The seed does everything else. Yet if we do not sow it, it does nothing. All we have to do, you and myself included, all we have to do is to sow the seed. Yet if we do not sow it, it does nothing. And this is a massively powerful, obvious, yet hidden truth. It's about being the blessing to somebody else. To be blessed by somebody else by serving or blessing them, then you are the one that is blessed. Here's another way to look at it. We have Psalm 126 in a video.
Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, bringing in the sheaves. A seed reveals nothing, yet holds all revelation. So small and singular, like nothing in my hand. But released to the ground, it unleashes the possibility of everything. The seed must not be held, but buried, entrusted to the tomb of the land. Waiting for the baptism of tears, waiting to awaken the dead. John 12. Unless a single seed of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it will never produce a harvest.
Seedbed is from my seminary. So I go to Asbury Theological Seminary. It's actually in Wilmore, Kentucky. And so I use this sometimes as a daily devotion. And so sometimes I can kind of pull different clips out. When I was talking to the first kids in the first service, one of the little boys said, well, you put the seed in the ground and then you wait a few minutes and you get the apple. I said, well, what happens between, you know, this the dirt and then the apple? And somebody said, the tree. But that just takes a few minutes, and then the fruit pops out. Don't we sometimes wish that's the way it was for us? I'm just going to do a little praying over here. I'm going to read a little scripture over here, and pop! I want to be fruitful for the kingdom. Psalm 126 reminds us a seed reveals by itself, holds nothing, yet holds all revelation inside. The seed is so small and singular, like nothing in my hand, but unleashed to the ground, it unleashes the possibility of everything. A seed must not be held, but buried, entrusted to the tomb of the land, waiting for the baptism of tears, waiting to be awakened. Folks, we are called to sow the seed in our own lives by being intentional with our time with Christ, spending time with Jesus in prayer and reading the Bible and studying the scriptures, coming to worship. Sow the seed in our children's lives. I look at those children. We are so blessed to have so many diversity of ages. I loved how one little girl, I think it was Hazel, she just starts eating the apple. You guys couldn't see. She had juice coming down. She had pieces of apple on her chin, and she's like, this is the best children's time ever. I love that. Sowing the seed in our children's lives by teaching them along with their Sunday school teachers. The Sunday school teachers, not only do we need more of them, but we also need to be engaged parents and church members and what it means to be a Christ follower. Teaching them by example about how and what do they see? Do they see your prayer life? Do they see you reading the Bible? Do they see you getting on your knees when you are in a situation that you don't know what else to do but to get on your knees and ask for God to help you? Do they see what it looks like to have quiet time with the Lord? You know, this month, we as a family of a church, we are hosting Family Promise again. It's a place where people on their fringes can come and stay for the week. We are sowing seeds here. Will you join us? The third Monday of every single month, we need 4 to 6 loaves of sandwiches, and you guys all make them. And then there's, last month, there were 17 of us that went down to the soup kitchen. We are sowing seeds downtown in Salt Lake City. Will you join us? Will you attend a Sunday school class? You already brought your kids to one. We are sowing seeds here. Will you join us? I think of Psalm 16 when it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sometimes when we grow older, or we have experiences, sometimes it's hard for us to keep that joy that we read about, that we hear about in our very souls when we're going through situations. It is hard to keep the joy. And so I thought those scriptures that I read, or actually Steve read in the very beginning, and I'll get to the letter in a second. This is the Proverbs, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I love this part. This is from Psalm 126. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. What does that look like to have your mouth full of laughter? At the Durango church, when I was the Christian disciple girl, and we had a preschool, and all the kids would come through the hallways to go to the chapel on Wednesdays, and I'd lean through the window as I watched all the kids come by, and they'd be walking like this. And I was like, what are they doing? So instead of asking the teachers what they were doing, I just started popping my own bubble. So I, and then all the kids were like, and the teachers later, they came to me and they're like, Shree, what are you doing? They're holding bubbles in their mouth. They're supposed to be quiet all the way through the whole church to get to the sanctuary because we're supposed to be reverent. They're holding bubbles and you're telling them to pop their bubbles. Like, well, that was kind of a lot of fun. So maybe we get joy from looking at our children. And these letters that are up on the screen, is that the very first one? Yeah, go to the first one and I'll come over here. Is that really the first one? All right. Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that? Or was it an accident? Norma. Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world because there are only 4 people in my family and I can never do it. Dear God, we read that Edison was the one that created light, but in Sunday school, our teachers told us that you did it. So I think he stole your idea, Donna. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the middle of the church service. Is that okay? I need to know. I mean, think about that letter. Wouldn't that be a great opportunity for you to talk to your kids about the pureness of kissing, about the pureness and the sacredness of marriage and what that means? And of course, we're in God's house, and you know what? He wants us to kiss. And then I think this is the last one, which is my most favorite. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Isn't that so true? So sometimes when we don't know how to find that joy and it gets hard, think of the bubble in the mouth. Think of the joy in our kids and how they say the darndest and cutest and most wonderful thing. Imagine when hearing the sound of the alarm clock in the morning, instead of groaning or slapping the snooze button, you awaken. Mind, heart, and soul to possibility. Can you imagine waking to possibility every single day? Something better, something more. Imagine waking up each day fueled by a whisper that says, this is the day. Because life is not about some day. It is about this day. All we need to do is to sow the seed, to cultivate the seed. Somebody said to me the other day, well, Sheree, we are stirrers of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that creates uncomfortableness. All right, will you bow your head for the morning prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each and every single one of us here. And for all of those that are in the Sunday school classes, all of those in this area, Lord Jesus, thank you for becoming the seed. And thank you for sowing our lives like so many seeds. Open our heart and mind to the sheer possibility of what you can do with a single life yielded to your purposes. Open up our heart and mind to the sheer possibility of what you could do with a single Methodist church who yields to your purposes. Make our life a seed sown, filled with your purpose. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us for the glory of your name, Jesus, for the glory of your kingdom.